My favorite recipe is one that has been passed down for generations, and it has three ingredients: cereal, milk, and you. I'm so happy to have you here on the Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. I am a cereal enthusiast named Justin McElroy.
And I am a... You know, at this point, I'm starting to think of these ahead of time because I know it's coming, and I think the best I could settle on for this week would be I'm sort of a cereal butcher, in the most humane sense, sort of culling the meat of the stuff from the fat, and my name's Dan Goubert.
Dan, it's such a pleasure to be here with you. Always a relaxing sort of time in my week, and every other week, I guess, Dan and I gather together to talk about the latest and greatest in the cereal world. We'll have some news for you. We will have some reviews, which I love. And we got some feedback from you about cereal and more. So much more. But the main thing about this show is that it is supposed to be relaxing. That means set aside your worries, set aside your cares. We'll be with you for the next, usually around a half hour or so. And we're just going to talk about cereal, and that's it. So this is your time to sit back, relax, and just enjoy contemplating cereal. Dan, I always love to hear about the new cereals from across the globe, and you've got some exciting sounding new ones.
Yes, we have a returning favorite from a different hemisphere. Anyone who has sort of mentioned the word Oreo-O's in my general vicinity for probably the past 4 years knows that I inevitably bring up the vastly superior South Korean version. You can still buy them. If you don't know, they are sort of chunkier, fudgier versions of what you would find on American shelves, and I feel they better retain the spirit of the 1990s original Oreo O's, even if it might not be the perfect aesthetic analog. But so there was a long time where there was a whole twisting, turning narrative of confusion surrounding Oreo O's in South Korea. There was this whole bureaucratic battle over trademarks and copyrights between different companies that had the rights to talk about Oreo and Post cereals in the same sentence. So its fate was left uncertain for a while, but now it appears to be doing so well that we're seeing our first variations of Oreo O's in South Korea, the first of which being Oreo O's Red. Yeah, it's not really what you'd expect the first variant of Oreo O's to be in any country, although I guess I'm not really familiar with the local Oreo culture in South Korea. I have to imagine they have different flavor targets than here in the States.
That would be an extremely eclectic thing to be an expert in, Dan.
Yeah, it's basically like hot dog culture, how it's different in every country. I have to imagine that Oreo O's all around the world just sort of become cultural amoebas in that sense. Mm-hmm. But Oreo O's South Korea version, their first variant would be Oreo O's Red, as I said, which includes not only these strawberry-flavored marshmallows, but also strawberry sprinkles on the Oreo O's themselves, as opposed to the white. And I actually managed to try this one already.
Wow.
In the period between I talked about the news and it arrived at my house. But it's the weirdest thing. So when I first learned about this, some dude sent me the link to an eBay. I'm sorry if I forgot your name, I really do. But he sent me a link to an eBay listing, and it was the last box. So I bought it, and I was very happy for it to come. But then the next day, a listener named Luke, who I believe is stationed in a U.S. military base somewhere near South Korea, offered to also send me a box, but also include a box of post-South Korea peanut butter O's, which I think is really the buried lead in this story. Mm-hmm. Because if you know the Oreo O's mascot, you know him, you love him. I model my hair after him many times, but he's that little white blob with the black sunglasses, very Psy Gangnam style before it was existent.
Yeah, but he's a fun, portly little fella.
But yeah, post-South Korea seems to be using him also in non-Oreo-related contexts, because I believe last year we saw Honey O's without the Oreo branding, but it also featured that mascot in a bee costume. And now he's reappearing on a Peanut Butter O's cereal, sort of just pouring a giant jar of peanut butter over the Lucky O's themselves. I have not managed to try that one yet, but I will give a sneak preview on the Oreo O's Red that they're pretty great. I mean, it's so distinct from the golden Oreo O's that we got here as our first variant, and it really just goes to show why we need to be importing this more regularly.
What are we looking at with the marshmallow?
See, that would probably be my one hesitation, is that there aren't that many marshmallows.
Okay.
But I think the nature of the foil bag really just, you know, weighs them all down to the bottom, or at least I tell myself. But the the marshmallows that I did get definitely had like a strawberry shortcake whipped topping sort of feel. And I think usually when you get a Marbit cereal in America, either the pieces are flavored or the marshmallows are. And there's not really that overlap intensity, but I think they really nailed it here, and that's sort of the twin-fronted synergy, I guess, that corporate cereal execs here in the States could really try to copy next time.
Excellent. Next up, we've got it's time to scan our tarts.
Scan our tarts. If there's any phrase from this show comparable to stacking up your spoon and calling it a day, it would be scanning your tart and, I guess, calling it an overwhelming evening. But Spidey Berry Pop-Tarts are now hitting shelves, and this is the third Spider-Man-themed Pop-Tart that has ever existed. We have gotten a vanilla one, which I'll admit doesn't really make sense, and a different Spidey Berry Pop-Tart for the launch of the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man films that were Wildberry flavored. But now the rebooted version for, I suppose, the rebooted cinematic universe of Spider-Man. This alternate universe Spidey Berry is, in fact, a raspberry. And while I don't think that...
No, it's Spidey Berry, Dan. You're confused.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I forgot the rules of botany have changed in this parallel dimension.
Sure.
But the flavor isn't really the exciting part. As we alluded to, the fact that you can use an app to scan a virtual experience from your Pop-Tart is just about the most 2019 thing I've heard all year.
Yeah, it's unfathomable.
The way I was talking about it was that we really need a Pop-Tart that's so technologically complex that you can actually use it as a trading card or perhaps a playing card, almost like a Skylanders or like a Yu-Gi-Oh! Dual Disc scenario where you slide
that.
It in.
And you have to hold on to it forever.
And as the Pop-Tart ages, your character ages in-game.
I love that. That's extremely exciting cereal tech.
Cereal MMOs. There you go. South Korea might be able to help with that one, too.
I don't know why I find this third story so entertaining, but I do.
This is a very strange multi-layered story as well. Cap'n Crunch has debuted another patriotic version of his cereal. If you've been keeping score at home, last year, the idea of Freedom Crunch was a very strange, like, boisterously patriotic version of Crunch Berries featuring red, white, and blue Crunch Berries, and it only materialized in select areas. And it was a very strange pseudo-myth for a while until earlier this year when we heard that the Cap'n would also be dropping red, white, and blue Crunch, which is the exact same idea repackaged, but in sort of a similarly uncanny-looking Cap'n box. But then we also saw that there's an alternate version of Red, White, and Blue Crunch going around. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's super, like, cinematic compared to the first one.
Yeah, there's a lot of drama, I would say.
I mean, because I know in sort of the Cap'n Crunch lore, he does have a lot of enemies, so this really gives us sort of a first-person shooter video game look at what it would be like to be led by the Cap'n into battle against the Soggies, I suppose. But yeah, I was so intrigued by that. Sorry, I buried the lead again. But he is now, Cap'n Crunch, debuting Hero Crunch at Dollar General, which is perhaps the strangest looking box of just about any cereal I've ever seen.
It's a very weird It's got like a red, white, and blue camouflage.
Yeah, which doesn't feel strange. Like it'd be in a. It wouldn't be very effective in any combat scenario I can really think of.
No, but the captain's never been a master tactician. He's not constantly crunching. He can't sneak up on anyone.
The problem I have is that he's not even wearing any sort of camouflage, though.
That's right. That's right. He doesn't care.
I also don't know if you see it, but is it just me or is his hand like reverberating a bit through time and space in this photo?
It says around his hand, it says the captain salutes you, which I very much appreciate, Captain. I'm just buying a box of cereal. I'm no hero.
You're our
nation's
hero.
Am I a hero for eating the cereal, or is the captain a hero for... It's very confusing.
Do you think that the reason it was an exclusive cereal is that Captain Crunch was enlisted by General Dollar?
Maybe. That's possible.
The true enemy of General Mills. But also, there was one other little tidbit about Dollar General exclusive Cap'n Crunch boxes. I mean,
okay.
There was a listener named David who sent me a picture of other Cap'n boxes at Dollar General that are doing a mail-in cereal bowl promotion where you can sort of support childhood literacy by mailing in different Cap'n Crunch box vouchers to get this exclusive bowl. That looks pretty sweet. It's lined with books, and it has the captain telling you to reel in, sort of hold yourself back when you've gotten that deep into the bowl. But if you look at this advertisement on the back, I think the most sinister part is the top left corner where there's a bookmark that says, "Treasure every story," which is a very nice sentiment until you see that Cap'n Crunch's rascally pirate nemesis John LaFoot is right beneath it, brandishing his scimitar and looking at you with sort of ill intent. It's a little bit worrying that it's nice on the surface to promote literacy, but I'm kind of questioning whether there's implied violence in how they do it.
Here on the Empty Bowl, we also like to take a few moments to try some cereals, not on the air, although I'm sure that's some people's thing. It's not really our thing. We wanted to start here with, oh man, I'm just realizing I'm extremely hungry. Okay, here we go. Peanut butter Chex.
So peanut butter Chex, and I guess limited edition Chex in general, are this case of, they don't really try anything too crazy, but what they do it very well. And peanut butter Chex is the latest example of that. It doesn't overpromise any sort of, ice cream nuance, as we may talk about later, but they promise peanut butter and they really nail getting that sort of genuine, almost salty peanut butter taste. That
nice.
While I love the others like Nutter Butter cereal and the Peanut Butter Crunch, it's just super overwhelming and it's not really something that I could, you know, sandwich between the different halves of my PB&J, which is what I really look for in a peanut butter cereal.
Mm-hmm.
Have you managed to try this one at all?
No, I'd love to though. I'm deeply into peanut butter, so this sounds delicious.
Yeah.
Can you compare it to like another cereal in the peanut butter over?
I think the closest one to me would be peanut butter puffins.
Okay.
Just because those also really nail the idea of being salty, and I think. I would still say Peanut Butter Puffins does it better because they're a lot hardier and dense as opposed to the Chex that basically just emulsify into peanut butter when you put them into milk.
It's a slightly more reserved. It lets the peanut butter flavor take a front seat instead of the sweetness. Is that fair?
Yeah, it takes a front seat, but it's almost like cruising in the passenger seat because... This is a Corn Chex cereal versus the Blueberry Chex, which was rice. And in this case, you get that richer base. And I do think sort of the toasted corn complements the roasted peanut butter very well here. And I rarely say that about corn cereals. So,
Dan,
you heard it here first.
Before we move on, I need you to rank the Chex, corn, wheat, rice.
I mean, it's all contextual. Are we talking milk experience?
I'm offering you a bowl of three... Straight up with milk. No, well, you can have sugar on all of them if you want, but corn, wheat, rice checks?
I'm going to put corn first because...
Interesting.
I think it's the gold standard, quite literally.
Interesting.
And if we're talking about, you know, sort of extracurricular activity, I would definitely say wheat because I think it's the underspoken backbone of any Chex Mix. But if we're talking milk, it doesn't quite meld as well. And it also is super heavy, so it just plunks
it
straight to the bottom.
Up. It sogs up to a very thick sort of gruel.
Yeah. Yeah. But then I would definitely put rice last because it's just... It's the same problem I have with Rice Krispies and Fruity Pebbles. It just
I feel like I eat a bowl of a rice anything and I'm hungry still.
Exactly.
It's so unsatisfying. I feel like any rice cereal is unsatisfying. Now, that's a plus with Fruity Pebbles because I will just eat
right. The slurry is the point in that case.
Exactly right. But we got another one of these Malto Meal Cold Stone Creamery crossovers.
Yeah, as I said in my blog review, I definitely think there's a secret ulterior motive here to try and write the longest cereal name possible. But the Malto Meal plus Cold Stone Creamery Cookie Don't You Want Some? ? Cereal is the latest offering between the pair who earlier gave us Birthday Cake Remix, which was pretty lame, and our Strawberry Blonde, which was pretty great. So they were hit or miss before this one, and I wasn't sure what to expect going in, especially because they made the bold claim of saying it's a cookie dough flavored cereal, rather than the cookie crisps of the world that'll be honest that it's probably just going to taste like a baked cookie. So I was really intrigued by how they'd approach this, but when I actually tasted it, I came to find out that that was kind of a misleading claim. Have you ever had the actual Cold Stone version of this flavor?
I don't think so. I once ate a bunch of cookie dough that my aunt brought to our house, and it made me sick. And I haven't been able to touch anything cookie dough centric for a long, long time.
Fair enough. But I looked up the actual flavor on Cold Stone's website, and they also allude to it on the back of the bag. But the real thing also includes fudge and caramel, which I think are both better descriptors of what this cereal tastes like than straightforward cookie dough, especially the caramel. There was a Girl Scouts Caramel Crunch cereal based off the Caramel Delights cookies last year, and this is a very similar flavor profile, except totally beefed up with much better fudgy undertones, as well as pops of Marbits. And, you know, I was saying I don't often compliment corn cereals, and I very rarely compliment Marbit cereals where it feels like on the surface they're not necessary, but I think it does a solid job of popping through the sort of layers of puffs that sort of bog you down with the caramel after a while, so you need to liven it up. But overall, I'd say this is a very interesting cereal. It's doing something that I haven't necessarily tasted before, but I probably would have wanted to get more of the cookie out of it. And it's also super sweet in itself, so I wasn't able to eat too much of it with milk. This is very much a eat it at dark, or perhaps in the Cold Stone parking lot sort of cereal.
Right.
Definitely under the shroud of darkness is where you want to enjoy this.
So you would, in this fiction you've created, you would fill up a bowl, then drive to Cold Stone.
I mean, aren't they legally obligated to just give you the stuff at that point if you've already invested in their cookie line?
I feel like they should keep it on hand as a topping. Wouldn't that be amazing?
We don't know if they do.
This third cereal, Mermaid Cereal, I received a box of this from a listener, and it was, first off, I gotta say, the biggest box of cereal I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yes, I got the same one. Thank
stunning.
You to this fellow. But I think my favorite part, just looking at the box, was the proudly registered 2 health star rating.
Yes, right. Apparently that's an Australian thing. Who knows?
I mean, at least it's honest. But
yeah,
I opened this cereal and I didn't really know what to expect because there's also a mermaid cereal from General Mills hitting at the same time that I was also able to try. But if we're talking about this one first, I want to know your thoughts before I share my questions.
Okay. The taste to me, and maybe my palate is just not sophisticated enough, The taste of Mermaid Fruit Loops to me was just Fruit Loops. It just seemed like a Fruit Loops flavor. So the key differentiator in that case would be the colors, which were kind of like a yellow and a green and an orange and a purple. And it's also worth noting that like the colors are all natural, no artificial colors, which sure. If you've seen like, if you were unlucky enough to buy a box of non-artificially colored tricks, you'll know that like these colors are muted and washed out and like mop bucket purple and like hospital floor green, like it's very underwhelming colors. So I guess I just didn't really understand the idea behind this cereal, because it doesn't seem to be flavor and it certainly ain't color.
Yeah, it does kind of look like the dregs of the bottom of the sea where the mermaid might be from, but mm-hmm. I agree with you that it really just tastes like Fruit Loops, and I thought that, but then I also looked at the box harder, and nowhere does it promise or even suggest that this does taste any different than regular Fruit Loops.
True. So, I mean, it's true, but...
I mean, so we get, like, Red, White, and Blue Cap'n Crunch 3 times a year, so we shouldn't really be surprised, I guess, that they're just recoloring cereals in Australia, too.
Right.
But I will add as well that I think the General Mills Mermaid cereal surprised me a lot more than this one.
Were you? Why is that?
Because that one tastes a lot...
Yes, General Mills, actually, this is wild. My wife, Sydney, who is not the host of the internet's most beloved cereal podcast, but is instead a family physician and a podcaster, of course, in her own right, but she doesn't host this show, was delivered a box of like 4 boxes of mermaid cereal from General Mills because she tweeted about mermaids and our daughter. And so she's an influencer now. She gets to be a cereal influencer.
You're telling me I've been doing this for 4 years and I could have just tweeted about mermaids.
Apparently that's all it takes. So yes, they sent us mini boxes of mermaid cereal.
Were you able to try it?
Yeah, I did. I did try it. Wasn't bad.
Yeah, it's got strong Trixian vibes, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe slightly less sweet. And not as much variety. The pieces are kind of fun. The pieces are like orange stars and green, like mermaid tails. I did like the pieces are. This is gonna sound silly, but this entire show is silly. The pieces are very small, so you can get like a very dense pack of cereal into a bowl, which I find very... I like to eat a spoonful of 20 things more than I like to eat a spoonful of 3 things. What'd you think?
I would agree. I mean, obviously the whole spoon stacking concept sort of relies on it, but
sure.
I think the colors were the biggest draw for me because it reminded me a lot of the Nickelodeon slime cereal, which was sort of also this really, really radioactive green paired with orange things as well. But I do think that this one, from a Pantone point of view, is really the thematic inversion of the Australian version. So it's interesting to see different cultural interpretations of mermaids all around the world. Just like Oreo is.
We asked you last time to let us know some of your favorite now defunct cereals. Dan, we're going to listen to some of those voicemails right now.
Hey guys, this is Todd from Denver, calling to tell you about my favorite childhood cereal, Disney and Kellogg's Mud and Bugs. It's a Lion King themed cereal with chocolate pieces and marshmallow bugs. It was basically Count Chocula, but with nasty critters instead of Halloween shapes. It was so slimy, so satisfying. Thanks.
Hello, Dan. Hello, Justin. My name is Caitlin, and my favorite defunct cereal is Team Cheerios, originally created for the 1996 Atlanta Olympics. It was a harmonious blend of Cheerios, Frosted Cheerios, and Brown Sugar Cheerios. I miss it every time I visit the cereal aisle.
Hi, I'm AJ from England, and my favorite now-defunct cereal is called Crunchy Nut Nutty. So there's still the original flavor, Crunchy Nut, that's still around, and it's sort of like cornflakes, but with a sort of honey flavor to it, and it's got tiny little bits of nuts sort of embedded in the flakes. But Crunchy Nut Nutty, I believe it was discontinued a few years ago, but it was the same flakes, but with the addition of these big chunky clusters of sort of processed nuts held together with honey, and they were really crunchy and delicious. And nowadays I just have to make do with the original flavor with extra nuts added in, but it's not the same. So that's my favorite now defunct cereal.
My absolute favorite now defunct cereal is actually a store brand. Meyer used to have Crunch Attack with berries. It was their store brand version of Crunch Berries, and there was a shark on the box, and it was just delicious. They changed their branding. Now it's called Super Crunch Berry, and their mascot is an alligator or crocodile or something, but it's just not the same.
Our listeners have such relaxing voices. When we're doing that segment, it's like the closest I get to being able to listen to this podcast without having to make it.
I can't listen to my own voice for very long, but I'll happily loop that part of it.
Sure.
I definitely want to comment on that Meyer thing.
Sure.
As someone who lives in the heart of Meyer country, they just like, there was a day, like night and day, you walked in there and they flipped all their cereal mascots, like all 12 of them, to new animals. And it just seemed like the most arbitrary way to pick them. So I know the pain of being abandoned by old store brand mascots.
Is it just white label Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries? I mean, is it just the Super Berry Crunch? Have you tried this? Is it the same thing?
Yeah, it's very, 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 very close. I'd imagine there's just a giant vat of it somewhere that different, you know, smaller groceries all just scoop barrels from and put it under different names. So if you've had, like, the Malto Meal version, you'll know what to expect here.
Yeah, the Malto Meal, actually, they'll throw marshmallows in that bad boy.
Yeah, they don't care.
They don't.
They have no reservation.
Do not care.
They will dunk on the captain's legacy, even if it's second-hand.
We have a question here from a listener that I would love to talk with you about. I grew up in a relatively cereal-free household, except Grape Nuts, and I've only started eating cereal now as an adult because of this podcast. Well, thank you. I feel like I'm playing catch-up, but I'd love to know, what sort of advice do you have for a cereal newbie? Are there any can't-miss cereals or combinations I need to be keeping an eye out for? Has there been any major cereal drama in the last few years I should be aware of?
You want to start that one off?
Yeah, I think here's what I would recommend. The first thing that you should do, I think, is go to the store and buy the sampler boxes of cereal. There is a great American tradition of packaging 8 tiny boxes of cereal together, and you have a variety of flavors, a variety of cereals. It's a great way to try out a bunch of different ones and see sort of what your tastes might be. And I know that General Mills actually has, because my daughter bought it, has a box with little bags, which is nice because it's less packaging and it's less annoying to eat, but it's got like Frosted Cheerios, Lucky Charms, Golden Grahams, a few other Cheerio varietals. But I think just start with sampling different stuff to try to get a sense of your cereal palate.
Yeah, I do agree that those sampler packs are really good, and you can live out the authentic experience of a kid who was the last one to wake up while camping and was left with the cornflakes box. But if I were to answer that question, I would say don't buy into the hype. There's going to be a lot of people who will shout their cereal opinions at you, mm-hmm. but you deserve to try everything first, even if it's something that may not sound like it would be good. Like, there are a lot of cultural connotations surrounding both Cracklin' Oat Bran and Raisin Nut Bran. They definitely masquerade as something that's, you know, pretty bland. But in reality, these are like the sweetest cereals you'll ever try. Mm-hmm. You got little square cookies. You got yogurt covered raisins, mm-hmm. Nut encrusted raisins. It's just, there's a lot more to the cereal world if you explore it for yourself. So also, I think if you want to know about the drama, I'm sure you listened to the Rice Krispies Treats saga in past episodes, so we have no need to speak of it again. But I'd say the only comparable incident in recent memory would be the Great Honeycomb fiasco.
Sure.
Which we probably got into at the very beginning of this podcast, where they tried to make honeycomb all natural to please a new audience, but it caused just the most incendiary sort of revolt against the honeycomb model. I think they lost a lot of fans that day, and they've since been trying to atone for it.
I don't have a lot of patience for people trying to make things all natural. I think that's an anti-science bias, personally.
What was that? Sorry, it broke.
I don't have a lot of patience for people trying to make things all natural. I think it betrays an anti-science bias. There's no need for that. But personally, that's just me, though. The last thing I'll say is, I personally, and this is an unpopular opinion that I'd love to get your thoughts on real quick. As much as I adore cereal, I don't actually think it's a great breakfast food. All things considered, I don't think it pairs great with like coffee and what have you. But moreover, I find that I enjoy and appreciate cereal so much more if it's at the end of the day, like right before bed. I love to like watch a relaxing YouTube video, usually about cereal, and really be able to enjoy it. I feel like the mornings for me are often too hectic to really be able to enjoy cereal in the way that I like to.
Yeah, I would feel that as well, because if you're eating it in the morning, you're then subjecting yourself to a whole workday thinking about the fact that you're not with cereal anymore.
Mm.
Versus if you eat it at night, you just know those characters are going to follow you into your dreams. you wake up eating packing peanuts. Many such cases.
That's going to do it for us for the week, folks. Thank you so much for listening to our show. If you've enjoyed yourself, as always, we appreciate you listening. We'd love it if you have an opportunity to go to bowl.rest and subscribe to the show there. You can choose to donate to the show there. That's also where you can go to leave voicemail. Dan, do you have a voicemail topic you'd love to hear from people on off the top of your head? I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you have anything that sort of occurs to you that might be a nice fit?
You know, we were talking about the Cap'n Crunch Bowl, so I want to know what people's favorite either mail-in promotion or prize at the bottom of a cereal box.
Excellent. That sounds so good. Fond memories of mail-in promotions or cereal prizes. Thanks for listening again. Please subscribe and rate and review on iTunes and donate to the show and all that good stuff. But most of all, take care of yourself and try to relax and breathe until we can be with you again. But until that time, for Dan Gubert, my name is Justin McElroy. And as always, don't forget to drink.
Drink.
The milk. Got it. That was good. I think that one might have been 100% in sync.